Welcome to another episode of Out of the Pods. I'm Deep Tea.
And I'm Natalie. Happy Wednesday, my little pod besties.
Happy Wednesday. If people are listening, they can't see us, but we're in a little different of a space.
We're in Deep Tea's apartment right now.
But don't get used to it because we're just trying some new things out. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see where we end up.
Yeah. We're like, you know what? Let's mix it up. Let's have a party at Deep Tea's place.
Exactly.
Speaking about parties, Deep Tea and I... Man. Did you like that transition?
I did. I was like, wow, are we getting better transitions?
Wow, look at me. Deep Tea and I went to a mutual friend's birthday party.
Yes.
And
tell them your attitude, Natalie.
And I was thinking in my head, what a great duo we make. We're like Batman and Robin.
Who's Batman and who's Robin? We switch.
In this case, you were definitely Batman and I was Robin. So we were at this party. It was a dinner. And we didn't know the other people at this dinner. And, you know, one thing about me is I'm very introverted and I get very overwhelmed when there's a lot of people talking. I have to make small talk with people I don't know.
And it's like super loud.
Yeah,
like,
it was a super loud restaurant.
There's like a random DJ at this restaurant. I'm like, are we having dinner or are we at a club?
And I just churn off like a fucking robot. I'm like,
you guys, literally, I was chatting it up with the two people next to me. I look over at Nat and she's just so miserable.
Literally, I have no emotion on my face. I'm not talking to anyone. And Deep Dee looks at me and she goes, you're miserable, aren't you? And
I was like, are you okay?
Yeah, she's like, are you fine? She goes, I haven't heard you say a peep all night. And I was like, no, I'm good. But Deep Dee, on the other hand, was like, talking it up. She has the gift of gab, but she was like, oh,
gift
really?
Yeah.
She goes, what do you do for work? Oh, how many kids do you have? Oh, who's your partner? Like, just literally getting to know everyone at this party.
Dude, I'm a social butterfly.
You really are. And that is why I did not feel the need to get to know anyone, because I was all like, you and I are a duo. Deep Dee and Natalie is our name. And so I was like, as long as one of us is friendly,
yeah,
like people are going to go away having a really good first impression of me because you made up for it.
And honestly, it's the same for reverse roles, because sometimes when we go to like certain influencer events, this bitch is just running around crazy.
Who, me?
Yes. And I'm like, I just can't. I did not today. I'm like, I'm literally staring her down like, when can we leave?
Yeah, I know.
Because we live in the same building. I'm not going to leave without you.
She's always like, so I want to leave in 5. And I was like, give me like 10 more minutes. Let me just finish up this conversation.
Dude, are we codependent?
Is this codependency?
No, I really think we're codependent.
That's, no, really. We are. We are one person.
No, we really are.
And our names are Deep Dee and Natalie. That is our one name. So like whatever you do reflects on me and whatever I do reflects on you. And like I just depend on you. Like if you are being so friendly, I'm like, this is my time to not talk to anyone. And yeah, someone might think I'm a bitch, but when they go home to talk to their friends about the people they met at this party, when they say...
They were fun.
And Deep Dee and Natalie, so fun and friendly.
No, that's why I have to look at you and be like, dude, you need to cheer up and make conversation because you're making us look bad. No. Better get your shit together because you cannot have a negative name.
And you can read me so well. Oh. Like when Deep Dee knows I'm in a bad mood, she knows it the moment.
You guys.
We are somewhere.
Like, I know every single emotion Natalie feels, and it's really bad because
I'll have a smile on my face and Deep Dee's like, you're miserable right now.
even when you lie to other people, I'm like, that bitch just
when I tell you a lie, like especially if I don't want to go somewhere and I'm lying to someone can't go. Deep Dee is such a good friend that she will go along with the lie.
Oh,
like,
she will
just
to.
Jump in.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't even need to give you a heads up, the type of lie I'm about to tell. Mm-hmm. She will jump in as if, and she will go, like, beyond. Like, she will add details that make sense a lot.
No, wait. We know that you can't do that when you lie. You got to be very, very high level.
You know what I'm saying? Like, no, I know. I know if I, like, let's say I make up a lie, like, oh, Deep Dee and I can't come because we're recording our podcast. If that person confirms with Deep Dee, I don't even need to give Deep Dee a heads up that I told that lie. She will cover her ass for me. She'll be like,
100%.
Yeah, you know what? Like, it's just going to be a really long night. So yeah, Natalie definitely can't go to that party because we will be recording for 10 hours.
The amount of times we used the podcast as an excuse to get out of shit is insane.
Yeah.
They're probably like, wow, this podcast has taken over their lives, which it has. But like the amount of times we've used it, People are probably like, I'm so fucking sick of you and your podcast. Like,
they're always like, how many episodes do you come out every week? And I was like, at the amount we've used this podcast as an excuse, 10. We have 10 episodes like, that come out every week.
How long are your episodes? Only an hour.
And they're like, what? And I was like, oh, we record 10 hours worth, but only cut it down to 1 hour.
That's a problematic.
I feel like
good thing none of our friends really listen to this.
I feel like pod besties, you're listening and being like, this is toxicity.
No, it is toxicity. And the fact that we feed each other the toxicity is even worse.
The fact that we tell each other, hey, like, this is okay.
That's why I'm concerned for us. I'm concerned that we're too validating to each other.
No, I really do have that concern sometimes, but it's okay. You know what? I feel like we're not hurting anyone. Like, obviously, we go to places that we are required to go or where we have to be somewhere for our family and friends. But if it's like, let's say, ooh, is this going to get us in trouble? But let's say it's like, I don't know.
It depends.
It's like an influencer dinner.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like, we don't really need to be there.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's good to network, but at the same time, I'm like, social battery zero.
Yeah.
Like, it's who cares?
Yeah. Will I say no? No, I'm going to say no. We can't come because of the podcast.
Exactly.
Like, you need a reason.
Yeah. It's like 9:30 p.m. on a Saturday night. And we're like, I'm so sorry. We have to go do the podcast. Oh, we're crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, in the news, did you see that the Golden Bachelor and his wifey are getting a divorce?
Yes.
They announced it today on Good Morning America. And
I did hear about this.
Honestly, I'm surprised they lasted 3 whole months because truly, I've had my friends watch it. I didn't watch the Golden Bachelor. Did you watch
Golden Bachelor? I didn't watch it, but I followed along through social media.
Yes. And okay, a lot of my friends who watched it were not fans of Gary whatsoever. And they were like shocked by who he picked. But this news is not surprising. And they're like, it's not surprising to me at all.
What were like the allegations about him? Like, I think he had like kind of a weird dating history and I don't know, some other things. There was like a lot of negative things that came out.
I'm not going to lie. I could not tell you any of
that. No, I know. That's the thing about social media and reality TV. Like when things come out on the news, you're like, I know something negative came out, but I can't tell you what.
Exactly.
But I thought Gary was so handsome when he was chosen as the Golden Bachelor. And I thought the show was so cool. So if you guys aren't familiar with the Golden Bachelor, it's a spinoff of the Bachelor, Bachelorette shows. Mm-hmm. But the contestants are age 65 and up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's
which
a very
is so
cute show. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so popular here in the US. A lot of people were talking about the show because it's so unique.
Yes.
And then obviously the Golden Bachelor Gary got married to Teresa in this like huge televised wedding. She got everything paid for. Even I think the show was going to pay for their honeymoon to Italy. And she would talk about it on her Instagram. Like she had a whole mood board, all this stuff. And
damn,
then all
you
of
got
sudden,
some details, girl.
I know. Well, when they announced their divorce today, I was like, I need to know more. Like,
oh, you went into FBI mode?
I was like, did people see this coming? And I think people didn't really see it coming because Gary and Teresa really like hit it on social media.
Yeah.
And they were on Family Feud last week with their respective children and grandchildren. So people are like, what the hell? Like
what took a turn?
Additionally, the Bachelor official Instagram page was posting photos of them recently too, just being really happy.
Yeah.
And so this is just like, I think all around shocking, but it kind of shows you how social media can be deceiving.
Oh yeah. 100%. I think the version of yourself that lives on social media is so different than reality. Like, who cares about my opinion on this? But I truly think that this is what is so sad about social media is like, you cannot base your life or compare yourself to people on social media because behind the scenes, it's a completely different story.
Again, I don't know the man, so I'm not going to like
speculate
about his character. However, I think that what's really interesting about when these couples come out of dating shows, like meet on dating shows and get married from dating shows, like the Bachelor franchise, but also Love is Blind, is people look at people's like social media to make judgments on how a couple is doing, like, or, you know, really like criticize couples too based on their like social media activity. And I think these examples show like social media is not real life. You cannot say a couple is happy or they're doing well based on their social media posts.
Yeah.
Nor their interviews.
I agree. And also the couples who post the most, I always say this is hilarious when you know the couples that are going through it. If they post like pictures together all the time and they're, the longer the caption, the worse their relationship is. And I love that because it's so true. It's so true.
Well, Ayana has said this publicly. Ayana from our season, mm-hmm. who is also our best friend. When she divorced Jarrett.
Yeah.
She like openly talked about just like how it was really hard to even file for divorce because of the pressures from the public. Mm-hmm. She felt like filing for divorce meant like failure, you know, in the eyes of people who watch Love is Blind and watched our season.
Yeah.
Because I think that in this space, when you get married on a reality TV show, like divorce is seen as failure versus yeah. choosing yourself or choosing, you know, the best route.
Yeah. That's exactly how it was with Kyle and I too. There was so much public pressure to not just be together, but stay together because there's so many people rooting for you. And I was rooting for us too. But it was really difficult to be like, hey, like we're no longer together, because not only was I disappointed the relationship didn't work out, but I knew like these thousands and thousands of people who put in so much time
and were rooting for you guys.
Yeah. And it's like disappointing them is like a tough thing, you know?
And you know what's really sucked is like when you guys announced your separation or your breakup, mm-hmm. I remember people being like, I told you, like, exactly. They were faking it. I was like, you guys, see, that's the thing. It's like people just, based on social media activity, they think that they know. And it's like, no, you guys don't know. Like, I lived yes. it with Deep D. Like, mm-hmm. I saw their relationship. She was not faking it. You know how I feel about Kyle. But like, it wasn't yeah. a fake relationship.
Well, that's exactly how I'm sure the Bachelor people or even Love is Blind couples, that's exactly how they feel. It's like when you announce it, it opens up the, like, it opens it up to the public to have these crazy opinions like, oh, I knew they just like yeah. didn't get along. I knew their marriage was whack. Like this about this person and that, like all these like random assumptions come up and it sucks to be in the position where you have to like see all of it. You
yeah.
know?
But we're seeing that with Gary and Teresa right now. Oh, if you I'm look sure. at social media, people are like, we knew they weren't going to make it. Like they weren't really in love. Like,
I didn't even watch it and I knew yeah. they were going to make it.
But, you know, like we no, think it's that, true. About that too. But it's so crazy. If they didn't announce this, mm-hmm. we'd probably look at their social media and be like, yeah. oh, I was wrong. Wow, they really are happy. Like, exactly. I was totally wrong. And I think you see that with other Love is Blind couples too, mm-hmm. of like people make those judgments. They're like, that's oh cool. my God, they're actually so happy. Or alternatively, they'll say like, oh, they haven't posted in so long. Like, they must not be happy. Yeah. And it's like, I think these are the examples when you have to realize like, you know, this divorce announcement is nobody knows anything yeah. and you can't make assumptions through social media.
But the annoying part is there, it's always going to be there. When you're in the public eye, it's all, you're always subject to having other people's perspectives and their assumptions thrown on you. That is just comes with the territory. And in fact, it even is the same way for like, even before having a public whatever, I remember just like within my friends and like high school people and college people, I would do the same thing. I'd be like, oh, they are not together. Let me just go dig deep. So it's like, yes. if you do that with your own like college acquaintances and things, imagine the public eye.
That's true.
It is officially spring, which means taking morning walks to get coffee, going to workout classes, and spending time outside on patios with friends. Whatever spring brings to you, you can use your everyday purchases to build your financial goals, like those morning coffee purchases and those workout classes. When you use the secured Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card, you can build your credit scores with on-time payments for everyday purchases. If there was an overachieving credit card that helps you build credit, this would be it.
Exactly. And there's no annual fee, interest, or credit check to get started. You can use it everywhere Visa credit cards are accepted. By the way, you get a Chime checking account too, which has no monthly minimum balance or overdraft fees. With Chime Secure Credit Card, you can start improving your credit scores right away. Get started today at chime.com/outofthepods. That's chime.com/outofthepods. Chime feels like progress.
The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Out-of-network ATM withdrawals and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
Do you ever creep on people from like your past that you're not as close with anymore? So like, for example, this recently happened, but this girl that I knew from college, and we don't really keep in touch anymore, she all of a sudden archived all the photos with her husband.
Yeah.
And randomly I was like, what happened? Like, okay, where'd he go?
Exactly.
And then you're like doing some digging. You're asking around and be like, did they divorce? Yes. Like, what's going on?
Or they're posting like wholesome quotes about like letting go or losing love. I'm like, oh yeah, something definitely happened. Let me just dig deep. You know what's crazy? It's, I don't even do it with my acquaintances. This one time I went to my acquaintance's mother because that's how I used to creep to get content. And I was like, ooh, what happened with your mom? Like, she's getting a divorce.
I even creep on my ex's exes and keep up with their lives.
Yes.
And I was like, oh my gosh, did she break up with her new boyfriend?
That's the ultimate tea. That is our reality.
I'm like, why? Why am I so into this person's business? So I totally get why people make judgments on, you know, like obviously like us and other people they see on reality TV. Going back to Jerry and Teresa, though, I wonder if they got married because of the pressure of the show.
Obviously, like look at our life and reality TV. It's like when you're going through the motions of it, obviously you want to like keep moving forward. You want to like hope that there's love. But when those cameras go away, reality hits and life is like, oh, I have to live with this decision. Just kidding. I'm good. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just.
I feel like there's like a high point, like when you are on a reality TV show, you get married on a reality TV show, and then people are like, oh my gosh, we're so happy. And you feel like so good about it, right? Like you are this like golden couple.
All these endorphins are running through you. Dopamine. Yeah.
All this attention. And then you're right. It kind of goes away and you're like, dude, is this marriage strong enough or do I actually want to be in this marriage?
Did you feel like that when after we finished filming, I felt like it was like so much energy, so much going on in our life, so many cameras, crew, everything. And then all of a sudden it was like nothing. And I felt so low and like just sad, you know?
Yeah.
So
I think people call it like the post-show blues, like who've been on reality TV. Mm-hmm. I've seen some like previous reality TV show contestants talk about this where you're on a high with, you know, all the cameras around you and all the lights and even getting mic'd up, like just feeling so important. And there's like this adrenaline rush being like, this feels so unique and special.
Right.
And then one day it just goes away.
Just goes away.
The day after filming ends is like the weirdest feeling.
It's so weird.
I mean, I've talked about it where, you know, my wedding was on a Sunday and Monday I was straight at work at 8 a.m.
I know. It was so hard to concentrate, like doing stand-ups and stuff. And I was like, what? My boss like asked me that. I'm like, this is irrelevant to me. Like, I'm like, I have no purpose.
But you feel weird. You're just like, oh my gosh, I just went through this like crazy thing. And it was such like a crazy environment. And then now just back to real life. Speaking about social media, have you seen the backlash that JoJo Siwa was getting all over TikTok?
Dude, it's literally all over my web. I can't escape it.
Yeah, I feel really, really
bad.
But
I can't look away either. It's she's doing a good job, though. I think this is exactly...
Good job of what?
I think this is exactly what she wanted. Truly, she wanted people...
Backlash?
She wanted people talking about her.
I actually don't believe in that. Like, when people say, like, all publicity is good publicity. Like, no, it's not. Like, I don't think people want bad publicity.
I think they, I don't know, because based on what she's been saying in the media and on podcasts, she's like, I want to be like Miley Cyrus bangers era, which means she wants people talking about her. She wants to make a splash. And I feel like she doesn't care really that much that it's somewhat negative.
I think that it probably hurts her that it's negative.
I'm sure.
Just because like, so just to set the context for those of you who have no idea what we're talking about, JoJo Siwa is the social media personality. She was previously known for like her really cute girly persona. Like she wore big bows, giant colorful bows, outfits. Mm-hmm. And then she rebranded recently where she's wearing kind of like these very dark outfits. Her new song talks about how she's a bad girl.
I'm a bad girl.
I like bad things. Is that the next lyric?
Karma's a bitch.
Yeah, she's like,
should have known better.
And she's like openly talking about it, being like, this is my rebrand.
Did you watch the music video?
No, but people are coming for it. So anyways, that's where the backlash is coming for. People are like, what rebrand is this? And kind of making fun of her for trying so hard to like become this like darker, like bad girl type of persona.
Yeah. Like also people need to chill the F out, because imagine being a child star.
Yeah. And start on Dance Moms.
And like at the age of what? Like, I don't even know, like 7, 8.
Yeah. Like she's like super young on that show.
So her entire life has been in the public eye. And all of a sudden people are just like coming for it. Like, I think it's just kind of rude. Like, let her do what she wants to do. I don't know. I think it's just like, I don't know. It's tough when somebody has grown up in front of us and she's trying to make it. You know, she's trying to create a life that's unique to her instead of like associating herself with these big bows and dance moms and all these things. You know, it's like, let her do her. Like, why are people so offended?
Okay, like 80%. Okay, because everyone comes for me for saying 100%, but I agree with you 80%.
Only 80?
Okay, because can I tell you, it's the path she chose to like continue staying in the public eye. Mm-hmm. I mean, something about, you know, people who have been in the public eye since they were young, I don't think it's like entirely their fault. Obviously, like her parents take some responsibility, but like, and it's probably the only like life she's known, like the only career path she feels like she can take. Obviously, like it's kind of a bubble. We've kind of felt it a little bit through Love is Blind. However, I like agree with you in that I think people are being like super harsh for, what is she, like 22?
She's 22, yep.
And she's not going to make the perfect decisions, and it sucks when you're getting judged for that. But I'm not going to lie, this whole like rebrand, obviously like I'm like following along but not really following along.
Yeah.
But everything that I've seen about her rebranding is kind of like cringy.
No, I know. And especially because, well, she recently also came out as gay, right? So I feel like there's a lot of changes happening in her life. And it's just hard for people to wrap their heads around this new version of JoJo.
Here's the thing about, again, that saying of like, all publicity is good publicity. I don't believe that. I don't think she wants negative publicity. I think she thought that the public was going to really embrace this rebrand. And she thought she really had something. Because if she's trying to mirror Miley Cyrus, if you look back on Miley Cyrus's career, I think that even though Miley Cyrus had moments that were like really controversial to the public in terms of like the persona she put out there, ultimately, like where she is now looking back, people are more like sympathetic to her.
Yeah, but I think it takes time. I really do think JoJo is smart. Like she is doing the right type of marketing to get herself out there and seen as someone different. I really think like, yeah, she might be a little offended because people are coming for her. But at the same time, look at us. We're talking about it. There's so many major podcasts talking about it. She's all over TikTok. JoJo's fucking song is engraved into my soul. Like I'm laying down in bed.
Dee Dee's a bad girl. She likes doing bad things.
And karma is a
like
bitch.
Using this podcast as an excuse not to go out.
Exactly. See?
That is really the baddest thing I've done so far.
Wow, if that's the worst thing you've done, good God.
Do you remember our first dates in the pods? Like that first day where we talked to all of the 15 men for like 10 to 15 minutes?
That was the most exhausting day of my life. And I was like, I have to be on for 15 times. Like I have to make a good impression 15 times.
Yeah, and that's tough.
Imagine.
No,
you were there.
Yes. Literally. I was like, imagine. I was like, I was right next to you, bitch.
I love how you're like, yeah, let me imagine. That's a tough thing.
Yeah, you're like, I was like, I've never experienced such a thing before.
That was good.
It was so tiring. I think about that day often, and I went back to my journal to like remind myself what a shitty day that was. But it's so tough because the pressure's on. It's not just like 15 first dates. It's like 15 first dates where you better make a really good fucking impression and be the funniest person you could ever be. And then also really great conversationalist, because the love of your life might be there and you only have 15 minutes to like convince someone like you could be their wife.
Little did we know that there was not any of our loves of our lives on the other side, and we worked so hard.
There's actually always one. that is kind of like my white rhino, like the one that got away.
Mm-hmm. Wow, a rhino reference after we had Blake on the podcast? Changing you.
Ooh. Ooh.
She's brushing up for when they get married at, is it 37?
No, I feel like it's 45 now. He's like, let me push it way back. Wait, by the way.
Okay. Yes.
People took that way too seriously. Marriage path.
You guys, literally, Natalie made that up right on the spot at the podcast studio.
No, Blake and I have talked about it before, but it's always as like a joke. You know, we're so close. If we want to grow old together, we could. But like no one ever, it's not a real thing.
No, yeah.
And people were like, this is so disrespectful to the sanctity of marriage. And I was like,
oh my God, please calm down. I have a marriage pact with my gay best friend. So
yeah, it's like one of those things of like, you know, if we, you know, end up single and, you know, we are done trying to date or whatever, like I'd love to just like own a house with you.
Yeah.
But it's nothing serious. You're not like, oh, I'm 40. Hey, hello. Are we getting married or not?
We're praying that doesn't happen. It's no, but I, the first pod dates were really super fun, actually, but they were so tiring. I remember towards the very end of them, I was like, oh, I'm fucking done. Everything is so boring. Like, I hate you. Truly, that's how my mindset towards the end of it.
Like, the first date of the 15 we had to go on the first day in the pods, I remember being like the best. Like, you are refreshed, so yes, excited. And then by the 13th, 14th, and 15th date, you're just like, you are drained. And I think also our standards went up at like the latter dates, because like,
you have to be something special to make you stand
out. Like, okay, because mm-hmm. like, we rank like the men that we want to see the next day at the end of the day. And you're like, okay, now I have to ask like tougher questions and start filtering men, because I can only choose 8 out of the 15.
Yeah, I think it was 8.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. 6 or 8. Crazy.
Yeah. So you're cutting off like half the group, or more than half the group.
Do you remember who your first date was?
I don't. I think it was Rocky.
Mine was Rocky, so it couldn't have been. I think Rocky was your second or third.
Yeah. He was definitely like,
I remember him being my number one, being like, oh, he set the bar so high. How do you come back? How do I like go on dates after this?
Yeah.
And then my last was like a corporate beau. It was so boring. I was like,
I know exactly what you're talking
about. You know
who
I'm talking about. I won't call him out, but I was like,
and
please.
He was in like my top four like throughout.
That's because he was in your filming. Beginning half of your dates.
Yeah. I mean, he was, I don't want to say boring, but it was a very like, you know, there's nothing fun in that conversation. There was no like flirtation. We didn't go particularly deep in our conversation either.
Yeah.
But I liked that he felt so safe. Yeah. Like, he didn't have, like, I was like, okay, like, I could see myself talking to you for the rest of my life, and there's no drama, you know, like, you're just kind of, you're a solid choice.
You know what's crazy? The fact that we had similar interests, I will say, without naming any names, proves that we were supposed to be friends.
You mean we had like similar
interests in men too? Like, we looked for similar characteristics in men. I mean, we're not going off of appearances. We're just going off of personality. And that means that, like, that's why we're so close.
Didn't we only have, like, one in common? Two?
Two. Okay, maybe not.
Because I feel like the one.
Why
that
are you we, doing this I feel like to me the one on the that, podcast?
I feel like the one that we did, like, showed that we were, like, a little bit toxic.
We're both crazy.
And we needed some healing to do. Do you remember the guy who told the same joke to all the women?
Which one?
The OnlyFans feet jokes? Yeah,
of course.
Oh my gosh, guys. So there was a man, and we won't say who.
Man, I'm just kidding.
A man. there was a man the first day in the pods who, you know, made a joke that his primary job was selling feet pics on OnlyFans. And like, no judgment.
So clever.
Yeah, we were like, haha, weird joke. But he literally told every single woman this joke. And here's the thing, why men are so dumb. Like, did he not think that we were all going to like talk about it when we went back into the women's lounge?
Probably not, considering he was wasted half the time he was there.
Yeah, he was also very drunk.
He was wasted out of his goddamn mind.
But here's the thing about women is we are FBI agents when we are trying to know men we are dating.
Yes, absolutely.
So obviously, after our 15 dates, we're all going to go back and be like, hey,
Who'd you like?
Who'd you like? Oh, you liked him? Tell me more about him. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to gather like more information that we're able to get in the 15 minutes we had in each date. Because like, duh, that's womanhood.
And every girl is going to get a different piece of information out of these men. So yeah. Obviously we're going to compare notes.
And we're going to give each other like warnings and heads ups about men that we were like, huh, about.
Absolutely.
And so when I went back into the lounge, I remember being like, hey, did so-and-so say this OnlyFans feet pics joke to you guys? Everyone was like, yes.
Raise
every
your hand.
Single woman was like, yes, he did. And they're like, did he say it like this? Like, did he deliver the joke like this? And everyone was like, yes.
And that is exactly why he was cut day three.
Yeah, that was
sadly
like it wasn't the worst date. But when everyone is putting their best foot forward, it was one of the worst.
I was like, when can I get out of this? Like, I need out immediately. Yeah. So bad.
We've talked about this before, how hair thinning happens in approximately 1 in 2 women. We have gotten messages from you all who have experienced this. I know we don't openly talk about it enough, and going through it can feel lonely and frustrating. I've experienced this, and that's why I take Nutrafol. I've used it for 2 years now, and it has helped make my hair thicker with less shedding. And their supplements support healthy hair growth from within by targeting root causes of thinning, including stress, hormones, environment, nutrition, lifestyle, and metabolism.
Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeking thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. Your hair is never just about your hair, and Nutrafol knows that. That's why Nutrafol takes a whole body approach to hair health, addressing the problems inside to help hair grow on the outside, supporting your lifestyle, not just your hairstyle.
So take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code Out of the Pods.
Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code Out of the Pods.
That's Nutrafol.com, promo code Out of the Pods. One thing that is very interesting about the pods, though, is how much voice matters on day one, because you have nothing else to judge someone on. I know we talk about that all the time. Mm-hmm. But if someone has a voice that is not, it's, oh my gosh, it's so hard to even judge voices, but like, is a voice that I don't like, I cut them off my list.
Yeah.
Which is so crazy, because it's just a voice. And if I met someone, like, you never judge people off their voices when you meet them, do you?
No, never. Not really.
But in the pods, it's hard not to. I think it's not only voice, but if you're able to speak clearly and concisely, that's like you are a good communicator, you are going to thrive.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I think like voice is one thing for sure. It like initially brings you in, similar to how like your physicality brings you in real life. But then you have to be able to like continuously hold your own and like be thoughtful in what you say, and like, you know, obviously have the personality along with the voice to carry you through. Because otherwise, there's been some men, I think, in the pods that were like, had great voices, but like, they're just kind of duds.
And alternatively, there were men who had not as attractive voices, which is so weird to say, because I don't know what really constitutes an attractive voice.
Mm-hmm.
And they turned out to be like the best of the bunch, in my opinion. And it really sucks because they weren't chosen because of their voice.
Yeah. I'm laughing because I'm like, best of the bunch was still low par. But yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's just so many variables to it, but voice does matter.
Yeah.
Voice definitely matters.
I remember I regretted cutting one of the men off my list after the first day in the pod. So after like that speed dating day with all 15 men, because the conversation was lackluster, and it sucks that we only had that first date of just 15 minutes to make our decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And I regret that, like cutting that person, because I'm like, it could have gone somewhere. I think I don't think that anymore. Like, again, I don't think we would have worked out, but at the time I remember being like, oh, like what a bummer.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of wish that he made a better first impression, but for him, I think he was so nervous that he wasn't asking me any questions about myself.
Yeah.
And so I just assumed, like, I just had to make the quick assumption, like, oh gosh, like this guy doesn't care about getting to know me. But I thought he must be so egotistic that he hasn't asked me a single question about myself. But again, I think it was just nerves, because knowing him now, he's very not egotistic, wants to get to know everyone. And that's what really sucks about the pods.
No, I agree. I think first, like in reality, though, like I don't know. Like, you've been dating recently. How's that been going for you?
Like, compared to the pods?
Yeah, like, compared to the pods. Like, first dates, obviously, are way more, like, you have to put effort into them in the real world. Versus when we were in the pods, it was, like, all set up for us. And it was so easy to kind of just go with the process of it and trust that there's some quality men on the other side and that you're going to find somebody that you really like, right? How has been dating and first dates been different for you in real life?
I mean, a lot different because obviously I get to see what they physically look like and see their mannerisms,
which is huge.
Honestly, between meeting people organically or on dating apps versus being the pods, I will always choose dating apps and organically. Like, I just don't trust the pods after going through that process. I think it was really fun. But I do agree with what Blake said in our previous episode where he was all like, I couldn't be in the pods because like I go off people's like energy and their mannerisms.
Yeah.
And spot on. Same for me. I feel like mannerisms and, you know, facial expressions, everything like tells you a lot about someone than going off of someone's voice. Because like really, we just said it, but like it's hard not to judge someone just off their voice and how they talk.
No, I agree. I think that's
when you're in the pods.
I totally agree. And that's why I appreciated the pods because there's always a stage two, which is introducing the physicality of it. And I think that's the whole part of the experiment. But never during the process of Love is Blind was it like, oh, like physicality and your mannerisms and how you like carry yourself as a person. All of these things come into play. It's just when you build that emotional connection, is it strong enough to surpass the physical stuff? And I think the answer is no. I think the experiment has proven that it's not, which is why even dating apps are really hard for me. Like, you know this, like I haven't been on a dating app since Love is Blind. And I think
you would be really successful on a dating app.
I know I am because I've done it
in the
past.
One thing about DT is this woman gets hit on all the time. Like, it is wild.
I don't know how.
And I'm like, yoo-hoo, hello.
Well, you get hit on too, shut up.
No, I literally don't.
Again, you know why?
Why?
Because
you're prettier than me.
No, it's because of my energy. It's my energy. I think I give off like a good aura.
Really? And I don't.
No, I'm not saying you don't. Sometimes I look at you and you're like,
I come into a bar and it's like blackness around me.
No, she's usually. Okay, you guys, the reason why she's saying that is because I asked Natalie to lift up her hand so I can see her aura. And she's like, do you just see black? And I fucking
died. And TG goes, I don't see an aura. And I was like, oh my God.
This adds up to, you know how you're always like, I don't have a soul. Who's a soulmate? Like, I don't have a soul.
TT's like, well, anyways, so.
No, but that's exactly why, dude, I cannot go on dating apps because I think you say this to me all the time is you swipe on dating apps as if you're a 12 out of 10.
Guys, I am so judgy on dating apps.
So funny.
I act like I look like Angelina Jolie. Like,
First of all, you are stunning, so you
should. No, but you know, like I swipe as if I deserve like Brad Pitt. You know, like I'm so judgy.
I'm cackling because same. Because I'm not that hot.
Why am I not getting any matches? I was like, oh, if it makes sense.
I'm fucking done. No, this is why I just don't think that I'm good on dating apps because I judge very easily. And plus, you know how hard it is to showcase your personality through those damn prompts? Like, no thanks. I'm not trying to write an essay.
That's
right
why
now.
You need to do a voice prompt.
Bitch, I would never.
The only reason I have a voice prompt is because I want to let them know that I speak English.
Why is that so funny? Because you're Asian. You're so dumb.
I'm like, oh, I'm doing a voice prompt.
Wait, that's actually really funny because that's probably what I should do too. Deep tea, they're like, are you fresh off the boat?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that is the only reason why.
I'm so done. See, okay. It's like a Hinge profile takes so much effort. And I need somebody to see my aura and my energy because it makes me more attractive. Speaking of that, after the show came out, everyone came up to me, and I think you too, and they're like, oh my God, Deep Tea.
I know what you're going to say.
You're so much more beautiful in person. I get that too. Ever since then, I've been like, great. What the fuck?
I know. I was like, I wish you said the opposite to me, knowing that millions of people are watching me on their screens and only like a few hundred people see me like in my lifetime. In real life. So I'm like, what?
This is what I mean. I'm like, men will not like me based off of my profile. I need to be out in these streets.
No, dating profiles are really tough because, you know, like your best photos, or at least for me, my best photos don't look like me because they're the ones that are from like great lighting, a little bit of Facetune, you know, like
me 20 pounds lighter from like last year.
So it's hard to like balance like your best photos, but what are like your really average ones, like the ones where it's like a little bit worse than what you look like. So you kind of
do,
you give a scale, like, yeah, I'm not trying to catfish anyone out here.
Actually, I when I go through like your profile, like, you know how sometimes I'll look through who your matches are?
Yeah.
Sometimes their first picture to their last picture is so motherfucking, I'm like, is there five different people? Because I'm confused. But honestly, this is why I think it's so important when you have a Hinge profile or any profile, any dating profile, you gotta switch out those pictures and those prompts, because you can, like, you know, fish other people in. Is that the, I don't know why I said fish people in, but you know what I'm trying to say. Like,
no,
you,
I don't.
You can reel different types of people in through different, it's like a cover letter for your life.
If I had the choice to go back to the pods or stay on dating apps, I'd still choose the dating apps.
Well, of course.
I just feel like,
in this day and age?
Yeah, I just, look, I'm sorry, but the physical aspect still matters. And I'm not talking about like attractiveness, but really just talking to someone in person. And again, going back to mannerisms, going back to facial expressions, seeing how they interact with like other people. Like, you know, let's say you go to a restaurant for your first date, seeing how they, you know, interact with the wait staff.
Yes.
Like those things I think matter.
Yeah. I think that's the thing. You have to go through a lot of like iterations with people to figure out if they're your person or not.
Yeah.
Which is like kind of tough to do, because, you know, I'm just sick of it. I don't want to date. I just want to get married. Is that crazy?
Here's why Love is Blind messed me up. Like, truly messed up how I date. Because I'll ask the most personal questions on first dates, because I'm so used to like being in the pods and asking the craziest questions.
Yeah.
Like on the first date, I'll be like, you know, like, how often do you use the bathroom?
That's a deep question.
It could lead to very
Can
deep
I tell
conversation.
You? Okay. I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before and to you, but my parents have been trying to get me in an arranged marriage since I was, I don't know, as soon as I graduated college. I threw that cap off and my parents like, here's the match. You know, like, are you ready to get married? Anyways, I like have always been like, absolutely fucking not. I'm not getting an arranged marriage. And then this past weekend, I was with my parents and they're like, we've given you enough time. You're 33 now. They're like, are you ready to like get married? And I'm like, obviously I am. I'm ready. And I'm kind of thinking about saying yes, like match me up with somebody, because listen, the vetting that we're doing on first dates, second dates, third dates, my parents will already do that for me before I even get there.
Well, look at the vetting I'm doing on Hinge before I even meet them.
Exactly.
I'm like,
oh,
sir, is that a little mole on your neck? Next.
Exactly.
Swipe left. I'm just kidding.
And that's what it is. It's like your friends and family know you the best. Mm-hmm. Why not have them vet who you go on a date with? That way you show up, because I don't trust myself anymore.
But I don't trust my decisions. Parents.
I do trust them quite a bit, because every boyfriend I've had, they've been like, this is not it. And look where I am. So look. I think I'm going to actually... We should start a dating app where your friends and family pick the person for you. And
there's one like that.
Oh, damn it. There's always one.
There's one like that. But here's the thing. I don't trust my parents.
Why?
I feel like my mom, if she could really choose the man I'm with, it'd be a priest. They can't get married. A pastor. That's the only option.
But your dad wouldn't do you dirty like that. That's why you have your siblings. Like, Sam would never let you do that.
No, I think she like... would try to pull a fast one on me and be like, yeah, that's exactly what you like.
This is why I'm saying my brother, my sister, my parents, and my friends, my best friends, you guys would know. You know what I mean? So I think like we should try that out. Forget Hinge. Come on the fun side with me.
Oh, man. You know what? I did go on a blind date that was set up by Ayana.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was little matchmaking, I guess, experience.
I mean, it didn't work out well, but.
No, it didn't work out. And that's the part that really sucked is like when you're set up with someone and you still, you know, you can't just like disappear from their lives, yeah, right? Like yeah. there's still potential, like I will see him around. And that's the part that sucks.
That does suck, actually.
Yeah. So that's why I'm not a big fan of like matchmaking, especially if it's with like other people. Like, you know, my parents are trying to set me up with like their friends' children or like someone I will see again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, in my case, my family friends or whatever, they're like probably like in somewhere all over the country or world. So, you know, there's no chance they'd be from Chicago, which is great. But I'll keep you guys posted, pod besties. If I go forward with doing that type of like matchmaking or whatever and it's successful for me, I will let you know.
Yeah, we'll bring him on the pod.
Oh, I hope so. Please, dear God. Please. I'm manifesting a man for myself at this moment.
I was laughing last night reading everyone's funny first date stories that they submitted.
It was so good. Our pod besties have been on some crazy dates.
You guys are so funny. But before we tell your stories, can I tell you about the date that I went on last night?
Please tell me.
And this is why we're doing this episode. Because I went on a date. And Yay! It was going really, really well. And I was like really hopeful. I was like, I really like him. He's very normal. Like, seems really easygoing. Just, I'm attracted to him.
Why do I hear the but coming?
But. There's always a but.
There's always.
He asked me, he goes, oh, like, why are you single? Like, when was, and I was like, well, multitude of reasons, but he was like, when was your last relationship and what happened? I was like, oh, like it was a few months ago and he ended up cheating on me, but like kind of over it. And he goes, oh my gosh. And he starts getting teary eyed and he goes, I was cheated on too by a family friend.
Ooh.
And I was like, I thought that was the end. I was like, okay, like this is the first date. Like that's enough information for now. We spent 30 minutes. He's telling me every single detail.
What happened?
He's telling me he found out via Snapchat. And I was kind of like taken aback because he started tearing up during our date that I didn't know. Like I was being awkward because I was like, do I like hold him? Do I like give him a little pat
hold
on the back?
Him?
Like
what
I was like,
fuck?
What? How do I like respond to this?
Let him cry it out.
I kept saying like, oh, I'm so sorry. But it was 30 minutes of him talking about
that's
it.
That's too much for a first date.
You can't say, oh, I'm so sorry for 30 minutes. Like, I didn't know. I was like, what do I do? Do I reach over?
Like, yeah,
yeah.
Do you like a
but
hand
no,
placement?
I couldn't do that to you. My hands were like under my butt. I was like, I'm going to keep these here. Anyways, that happened. And
wait, can I just
he
say?
He started crying. And then I went home. And I feel really bad because, like, I totally get it. But I just felt like that was a lot for a first date.
I agree. But also, how old is this man?
He's 33.
Okay, first of all, I'm 33 and I have Snapchat. But like, how is he finding out on Snapchat that she cheated?
I don't think it was his latest ex. It was like someone from his 20s.
Got it.
That he brought up because I talked about how I got cheated on.
Got
when
it.
He was asking me like, when was my last relationship and why it ended. And so that's how it got brought up. But it was a 30-minute story. And
this would happen to you. So is there a potential for a second date or no?
You know what? If the story was only 10 minutes, yes, there would have been. But like it was 20 minutes too long. And that is very mean for me to say. But I just feel like, you know, it was just one of those things where I felt so awkward that I can't look him in the eyes again.
Yeah. It's also social etiquette on a first date. Like,
yeah.
You don't talk about your ex. You barely mention your ex on a first date. It's about you two.
And then he ended it by saying, you're such a great listener. And I was like, thank you.
Really? Because no. I'm done with you.
And I was like, thank you so much.
I don't know why that's so funny. Because you're such a talker. That's why I'm so lost.
I got real quiet.
I was like, is she a good
like the mood went from like 100 to like 10. And I was like, thank you.
You're like, please give me more tequila.
No, I was sober. I was sober. And I was like, oh my
was God, he sober?
Drink?
Maybe he was drunk.
No, he had an espresso martini. I was like, hey, I can't drink because I'm on antibiotics.
Why would you go on a first date and not drink? You dummy.
I mean,
that's the only way to get through the date. I could not imagine being sober on a first date.
So,
oh my gosh. Wow. Well, sorry to that man.
I just wanted to give you guys an update.
This is exactly why you're proving to me I will never go on Hinge, because this is absurd. Like, I just couldn't do it.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing about going on a Hinge date versus being in the pods. If I only spent 15 minutes with this man, I would have never heard this story.
No, you would have heard it on day two, 45 minutes, day three, hour 15.
But knowing how deep we get in the pods, I'd be like, this makes sense in this, you know, in this environment.
Yeah.
For some reason, the vibes were off last night. But anyways, that's a date I went on last night. But can we read the ones that our pod besties submitted? We have to get into it.
Let's read it. Okay, the first one here says, I went on a date with a man I met on OkCupid. He brought his mom without
telling
me.
What's funny about OkCupid?
Bro, OkCupid, it's like Farmers Only. So neat.
No. OkCupid's legit.
Oh, really? Have you been on it?
No, but
so, you have no argument here. Okay, but if our pod besties are listening and OkCupid has a lot of, you know, potentials, let us know.
Yeah, let us know, please.
I might, you know, get on there. Okay, let's start this. I went on a date with a man I met on OkCupid. He brought his mom without telling me. It was weird, but the conversation was okay enough that I stayed for 1.5 hours, an hour and a half. At the end of the night, he asked to split the check, which isn't fair because I essentially paid for half of his mom's chicken tenders and two drinks. I didn't protest because I just wanted to get out of there, and I ended up telling him the next day that I didn't feel enough of a romantic spark to see him again. Well, he gave his mom my number, and she ended up texting me to ask what was wrong with her son and why I wouldn't go on a second date with him. It pissed me off because I texted back, hi, please don't text me, but this whole situation is why I would not go on a second date with him. And she proceeded to call me 10 more times and left a voicemail to tell me I was ugly? Who is this helicopter mom? Don't pee. Those are new couches. We might have to return. Wait, what the hell?
This is the funniest story.
Is this a joke? This is a helicopter mother.
You know what? I would do the same thing.
Like, you would be the mom if you had a kid.
No, I meant like probably. But even if it was weird, I'm not good at like ending a conversation early, and I probably would have been there for like 5 hours.
Okay,
actually.
First of all, like, the mom should have paid. It's always the oldest pays.
I know. I'd be pissed too if I had to split half of her chicken tenders and two drinks. I'd be like, this isn't equitable right now. Like, what's going on?
I would run. I'd be like, I need to use the bathroom and never come back.
The funniest part is the fact that he gave his mom her number. And she left a voicemail saying she was ugly.
No, there's some weird shit going on between this mother-son duo. Like, let's face it. There's something weird happening here. Like,
oh, I love this story, though. Wow.
Why? Do we? I really feel bad for this pod bestie. Thank God you ran.
Yeah, this... you know what? I really believe in the saying of, like, if you marry a man, you also marry his family.
100%.
And I just feel like...
Imagine having at least, her for a mother-in-law.
Yeah, I was like, at least you kind of like knew right away wasn't going to work out. Because I feel like some people date for a long time and they meet the family and they're like, oh.
In what world? All this is proving to me is that OkCupid has weird ass men.
No, I'm telling you, OkCupid is legit.
Not from this story. Please.
Okay, let me read this next one. I was talking to this guy over text for a while. Our parents were friends and introduced us, and we were finally hanging out in person for the first time. I'll just start off by saying he was way out of my league. So cute, smart, and a college baseball player. It was just him and I in his apartment, which was extremely small and old. I immediately took note that the bathroom was right behind the wall that the couch was on, and everything that happened in the bathroom could be heard in the whole apartment.
Ooh.
What an observation.
My worst nightmare.
The apartment was so old, there wasn't even a fan in the bathroom to drown out the noise. So we chat for a while, then decide to watch a movie. We turn on Bird Box, and he puts his arm around me, and I lay on his shoulder. We're barely into the movie when I start to feel the dreaded tummy grumbles coming on. I know that real well.
Natalie knows that so well.
Then it dawned on me. My dumbass ate a rice bowl with beans and corn in it for lunch. My body temperature rises 10 degrees, and my heart rate spikes. And I had to make the most important decision of my life. Do I brave it and try to get through the movie, or do I enter the bathroom and have him hear the graphic event that was surely about to unfold? As I debated my plan of action, I realized the gas was proceeding solid and I couldn't hold it in. What comes next was the most foul, rank, utterly disgusting fart that I have ever smelled. Oh. There was no denying that it was me, given that we were alone. I unfortunately couldn't blame it on the rotting raccoon in this man's apartment on the third floor.
F is happening?
There's a lot of new details in this story.
I know. I'm like, let's skip over these graphic details.
I feel him get fidgety and can tell he's trying so hard not to either throw up or faint. And instead of channeling my inner Natalie and just owning it, I aggressively say, "What?" To which he has no response. Thankfully, the tummy grumble settled, but we proceeded to sit on his couch and finish the movie in silence. He was so sweet when the night was over and I was leaving and pretended it never happened. He even dared to give me a hug. We never spoke again, and to this day, I am kept awake at night wondering what he told his family as to why we didn't work out. And the story is why I need therapy.
I felt like I just read a actual telenova.
Honestly, this story makes me want to get therapy too.
You are in therapy.
But like, I needed an additional session.
You need a therapy session, or you need a therapist just to deal with your
Here's the
bowels.
Thing. If you were channeling your inner Natalie and you think that I would own it, I would not own it. Okay.
Bro.
You're talking
remember
to the woman.
Shit and Run?
I know. You were talking to the woman who clogged some man's toilet and I ran out of his house and never saw him again. Like, you know, I would not own it.
This is so funny because when it comes to going to the bathroom and things like that, like, I'm pretty sure I was in a relationship for obviously like 6+ years, 3+ years and some. Even 1 year into that relationship, that man had no idea I even farted or went to number two. Absolutely not.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm so good at it.
For me, like at that 6-month mark, actually, I do it probably earlier at the 2-month mark. I talk about it. Yeah. I like have to start.
Well, yeah, you have some issues.
It. Yeah. like, you know, I need to talk about it. Do you remember when New York Boy hated when I talked about it?
Yes, that was red flag. Red
I know
flag,
that should have been a sign of incompatibility. Look, I mean, this is a crazy ass story, but I really want to know about the rotting raccoon.
Yeah, what the hell is a rotting raccoon? Also, come on, like that man wasn't. I wonder why they didn't go on a second date.
Maybe because she had the smelliest fart. I feel like if a man farted and didn't make like a little joke of it or be like, "Oh, sorry, like I farted," and just was like denying that it was him, just said nothing, I'd be like
let's not take it so seriously.
Yeah,
right?
If you fart, you own it, girl.
Yeah, just own it and be like, sorry, that one smelled.
Ate a big lunch.
Sorry, I had some beans and corn. My bad. Like, just own it.
That was a funny one, though.
Okay, another one from our pod bestie. I am pretty laid back when it comes to first dates, but this one was bad. Met a guy on Tinder. We talked for a while before we met in person. No red flags. We finally met at a pub. He made me buy my own drinks and then he ordered nachos for himself. In an afterthought fashion, he asked if I wanted some. As he's licking his fingers and digging back in, he then got into some weird pissing match with another pub patron about the game going on, all while nacho cheese and chili is still around his lips. Then after, he wanted me to go to the phone store with him to get a phone upgrade and later go meet his family. What the hell did I just read?
Can I tell you something?
Is this you?
I want to know if she went to the phone store with him and then also met his family. If she did not, good for you for setting boundaries. But I know if this was me, I'd feel so awkward that I would actually go with him.
There's no chance in hell.
Like, I am really bad at this where I want to be extra nice on dates. And if they like ask me something or do something afterward, like go to the phone store, I will be like, sure.
Honestly, same. You're right. I would be doing the exact same thing. Because that's me too, is like on first dates, most of my first dates, not to toot my own horn, but they like just lead into relationships.
Oh, wow.
No, that's why I haven't been on that many first dates. Because the first one I went on ended up being a 3-year relationship. And then like the fourth or fifth. First
and then
date.
Shake literally led to engagement.
I know.
And Kyle.
I mean, Kyle never took me on a date. No, I'm just kidding. But really, did he?
I was going to say.
I don't know. I took him on a lot of dates. But I'm just kidding. But no, that's weird. I would like literally make my friend call me and be like, I'm so sorry. I don't want to like leave.
Absolutely. It's the nacho things. Like that's people who lick their fingers in public.
Dude.
Because sometimes I will do it in private. I'm not going to lie. Wait. Like, eat some hot Cheetos. I'm licking those fingers.
Yeah, do anything you want in private. Yeah,
but like, if you're licking your fingers in public and then digging your nasty ass fingers back in.
Wait.
I feel like that's a red flag.
Can I tell you, I had this conversation with my girlfriends the other night because we were watching the final game on Monday, right? And we ordered wings and like all these different things. And I was talking about how there's no way in hell that if I'm on a first date, I am buying any type of food that it's hard to eat. For example, a wing. Are you kidding me? There's no chance in hell.
No food on a first date.
I wouldn't even order like a Caesar salad that has really big lettuce because, you know, like white Caesar dressing gets all over your face. Like, no way in hell.
No, one time I was on a date and I was eating a salad. And this was like not a first date. I think it was like a third date. And the lettuce was so big that I actually had to take my finger. Because like, I feel like when you eat, if you're self-conscious on a date and you're eating, for some reason, I feel like your mouth doesn't like open as well.
Yes. You're like, oh, you're trying to be like cute.
You're trying to look like, okay, because like, I'm an ugly ass eater.
I can be too.
Like, you know, like I did my face just like does this like weird contouring as I'm eating. Like, it's just like.
No, that's
so true. I remember one time like a lettuce was too wide and I literally had to take my finger and shove it.
You shoved it in and not out?
Into my mouth.
You're ridiculous. No, dude, that happens.
Like, I was like, ah.
Dude, imagine like eating a burger and then you take a bite but the lettuce gets stuck, so you pull it out and the lettuce comes out with you. You're like, shit.
And also I have like groovy ass teeth, so there's constantly things getting like stuck in my teeth.
No, this is exactly why I order food very strategically on a first date. Like, if I'm trying to get wings, they better be boneless. I can cut them. It's easy to bite size.
No, I need something crazy that I have to cut with a knife.
Yes, like even pasta. You know where you slipper? It's like, blah, 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 blah.
And the red sauce is like, just like.
Or you're wearing white and it goes, nope.
No, really, having a first dinner with someone you like, it requires a lot of like thinking and strategizing for 100%. Sure. Like, I definitely do want that pasta on the menu, but I'll probably go for soup, you know, something easy to slurp.
Yeah, do like a ravioli, not a spaghetti, you know? important.
Okay, last story. My first date was with my now husband, and he took me to a funeral. I have no idea how we made it past that first date.
Oh, sorry.
You know, that's a really cheap date. I bet he didn't really pay much.
Yeah, but I wonder if he like just took somebody to like a family funeral. Like, imagine going to a funeral. And first of all, the fact that she married him is wild to me.
Like, was it a surprise? Was he like, hey, gotta stop by somewhere, and it was a funeral?
Sounds like a Hallmark movie, to be honest.
Yeah, like she must have known she's going to a funeral.
100%.
You have to wear, you typically wear black, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Interesting.
Imagine showing up to a date, didn't know it was a funeral, but you're like in pink or like yellow or something and everyone's wearing black.
Well, do you have like a first outfit you always wear? A first date outfit?
Absolutely. Because
I do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For every season.
Wait, this is so funny. I heard this on Very Cavallari, Kristen Cavallari's podcast. And she goes, you guys, every time I go on a first date, I always go to the same restaurant and I wear the exact same dress. And she's like, the staff probably is like, this bitch is just constantly wearing the same thing and always coming here with new guys. And I died. I was like, that's so funny. But yes, I definitely have a outfit that I love how I look in that I will always wear on first dates. It's been a while, but yes.
Okay, I'm like Kristen.
Yes, I know you are.
I've been on 6 first dates the last month.
Mm-hmm.
And we and I've gone to the same place.
Oh my God. I have to tell you the story night that you said that. Okay. I went to this place and I had 2 dates in a row. So I went there night number 1. I was with a date and we were really hitting it off. So, you know, a little tipsy deeps was definitely making out with this man at the booth. And it's like a dark setting. So it's not like everyone was watching us, right? The bartender was super cool, whatever. I come back the next day and this same bartender, she called me out on my second date and was like, aren't you the girl who was here with from that other dude yesterday? Like, weren't you just like kissing him? And I was like, dude, she literally called me out to this man. And I've never gone back to that restaurant since. And I will murder any of my friends who do. Isn't that wild though?
That is, she broke girl code.
She hates me. I was like, why do you hate me? And this was before the show, so she had no idea who I was.
So the place that I've gone 6 times, the hostess always remembers me. It's of the course. Same hostess. She also recognizes me from the show. And I'm,
that sucks for you.
And now thinking back on it, I am always wearing the same outfit.
Hey, you gotta show up.
Sometimes I'll like change my hair a little bit, but I wonder what she thinks. But I definitely do have a spot. Like, yeah. if the guy asks like any recommendations, I'm like, rah, 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 rah. You know, like the place I go.
Yes.
And I love it because it's walking distance from my house.
No, it's perfect. I know, I love that place too.
Yeah. But you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I love that place. But
we went there for my birthday. For after,
watch people
after our, dinner drinks.
Our pod besties are sleuths. They will go find this place.
Okay, but you know what? It's the benefit of the guy because the drinks are pretty reasonable. It's quiet. Or it's not
like,
quiet.
It's like a dark setting. They yeah. have live music sometimes.
There's
it's
always tables available. So it's yeah. like very little planning. So look, I feel like I'm doing them a favor. But now that I'm in the dating scene, I definitely am now that like I have the place, the outfit, the questions I'm going to ask. They're really, every conversation is literally the same.
I'm done. This is you just spelling that out for me is the reason why I do not want to date, because of that routine. Because I just can't do it.
I'm like, it's just another day in the life. When I go on one, I'm like, whoa, well, I feel like I've done this 20 times already.
Yeah, you're like, when is it going to be the one? But. Well, anyways, these were really fun stories to read.
They were. And we love these.
We really do.
There's tons more too, and we wish we could read them all, and maybe we will in the future.
Yeah, maybe the next episode. But yeah. You guys know where to find us. Reach out to us on our Instagram page at Out of the Pods.
And make sure you leave a review and subscribe. See you next Wednesday.
Bye.